3 minutes was really short, but after the sit, do you feel slightly more relaxed, or perhaps you feel more focused and more calm?
好，现在人也来的多很多了。
No, no, there are a lot more people here now.
我们可以开始了。
Let's begin.
好，心经，我相信很多人都念过，或者甚至有看过注解，或是听过讲解，对不对？我请问一下，今天第一次接触心经的菩萨，请举手。从来没看过心经、没听过心经的，请举手。
Many people have read about the Heart Sutra and also read commentaries about it. So I'm going to take a poll. How many of you here have never heard about the Heart Sutra or have never encountered it before in your life?
Please raise your hand. 请举手，这样的人请举手。No one is like that. Only one person. Okay. 有多少人已经听讲解心经过？听过讲解，请举手。
How many of you have heard lectures expounded upon the Heart Sutra? Raise your hand also.
Okay, 好，差不多有三分之一以上的人。那我今天有很多的助教，真好。
At least one third of you have heard about it before, so that means that a lot of teaching assistant today. That's great.
Okay, 好。时间很短啊，我用两次的时间讲解心经，这个礼拜跟下个礼拜。时间这么短，所以我们只能很快速的做一个简单的解释。
We have such a short time together, only 2 weeks to talk about the Heart Sutra, so we can only go over it really quickly.
好，那我们先念一遍好吗？我们先念中文好不好？等一下念英文哈。好，来
，Say it together，
大家一起念，请合掌念心经。般若波罗蜜多心经，观自在菩萨行深般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄，舍利子，色不异空，空无异色，色即是空，空即是色，受想行识亦复如是。舍利子，是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减，是故空中无色，无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味触法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无无明亦无无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无智亦无得，亦无所得故，菩提萨埵依般若波罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃。三世诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故，得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提。故知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，正是不虚。故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛，波罗揭谛，波罗僧揭谛，菩提萨婆诃。 好，现在念英文的哈，来，请大家念英文的心经。
The Prajnaparamita Heart Sutra. When the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was forcing in the deep Prajnaparamita, he perceived that all 5 skandhas are empty, thereby transcending all sufferings. Sariputra, form is not other than emptiness, and emptiness not other than form. Form is precisely emptiness, and emptiness precisely form. So also are sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. Sariputra, this voidness of all dhammas is not born, not destroyed, not impure, not pure, does not increase or decrease. In voidness there is no world and no sensation, perception, volition, or consciousness. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, smell, taste, touch, thought. There is no realm of the eye, all the way up to no realm of mental cognitions. There is no ignorance, and there is no ending of ignorance, through to no aging and death. There is no suffering, no cause of suffering, no cessation of suffering, and no path. There is no wisdom or any attainment, with nothing to attain. Bodhisattvas relying on Prajnaparamita have no obstructions in their minds. Having no obstructions, there is no fear and departing far from confusion and dimensions. They reach ultimate nirvana. All past, present, and future Buddhas relying on Prajnaparamita attain Anuttarasamyaksambodhi. Therefore, know that Prajnaparamita is the great mantra of power, the great mantra of wisdom, the supreme mantra, the Abhidho mantra, which is able to remove all sufferings. It is real and not false. Therefore, recite the mantra of Prajnaparamita. Gate, gate, parate, parasamgate.
哇，两遍都念得很好，对不对？好，谢谢。现在请大家看一下我的心经略解，我把心经做一个很简要的翻译。这个要怎么念呢？因为没有英文，怎么办啊？
Now let's take a quick look at my brief explanation about the Heart Sutra.
很简要的解释哈。
It's a very brief explanation.
这个英文其实刚刚念的就已经很清楚了，所以你不要略解没有关系。可是中文比较不容易了解，因为中文是用文言文写的，我就是用白话文把它翻译成现在大家比较习惯的文字，所以中国人比较需要，英国人美国人不需要。
For those people who speak English, actually the text that we have read is already quite lucid and clear. But I did this brief explanation.Over here for the Chinese speakers, because the original sutra was in classical Chinese and I translated into modern contemporary Chinese, which it will be easier for people to understand.
好，现在请大家看，这个意思是观自在菩萨在进入甚深的智慧时，观照到五蕴是空性的，因此而解脱了一切的痛苦厄难。舍利佛。身体是不离空性的，空性也是不离身体的，身体是空性的，空性的是身体，受想行识等也都是一样的。舍利佛，所有一切的现象都是空性的，没有真正的生，真正的灭，也没有真正的垢染和清净，没有真正的增加或减少。在空性中没有独立不变的色受想行识，也没有独立不变的眼耳鼻舌身意，没有独立不变的眼界乃至于意识界，没有真实独立不变的无明，所以也没有真正的无明消除这一回事，乃至于没有真正独立不变的老病死，因此也没有老病死的解除。没有真正的苦，没有真正的造成苦的原因，没有真正的苦的解除，也没有真正的解除苦的方法，没有智慧，也没有什么可以求得的。大菩萨因为有彻底圆满的智慧，心中没有任何的挂碍，没有任何的挂碍，所以没有任何的恐怖害怕的心理。远离一切错误的想法和执着，达到彻底无苦的境界。过去、现在和未来的一切佛，都是因为具有彻底圆满的智慧而成佛的。所以说，彻底圆满的智慧是最神妙的咒，是能去除无明愚痴的咒，是无可比拟的咒，是能达到不生不灭境界的咒。能去除一切的苦难，
这是确确实实的，一点也不会错的。最后祝愿，去吧，去吧，到彼岸去吧，大家都去吧，快去成就正觉。诶，这样子一个很简单的白话文，大家看过以后是不是觉得更了解一些了？有这样子的感觉是不是？
对，
那很好，我很高兴。
So this is geared toward the Chinese speakers, because the text has already been transliterated into modern Chinese. So Bashi just asked if it has become a little bit more clear for the audience, and people seem to think so.
如果你觉得哎，今天我已经清楚了，那你回去了。
If you feel that you have known everything about the Heart Sutra already, then you can indeed go home already.
有没有人要回去了？还没有。
You want to go home now?
还不够清楚啊。OK， 好，那我们再讲解好了。好，现在来看《般若波罗蜜多心经》这个经题是什么意思
？OK，So let's start from by looking at the title, the Prajna Paramita Heart Sutra. What does the title mean?
最主要的，我们要先知道《心经》是什么意思，因为。这部经常常只是简称心经，对不对
？We have to first look into what is Heart Sutra mean, because it has often been abbreviated as the Heart Sutra. What does it mean?
有的菩萨很有趣，他把这部经的整个经体念成般若波罗蜜多心经，般若波罗蜜多心经，用这样的断句，那意思就完全不一样，对不对？
That was interesting. When reading it in Chinese, some people have segmented the title at the wrong place, and so created some erroneous interpretation of the title.
要念就是《般若波罗蜜多心经》，不是念成《般若波罗蜜多心经》，不是这样子分句。那《心经》的意思就是最精要、最核心的经典的意思。
Heart Sutra is referring to what is the most core, most essential.Of all sutras.
所以般若波罗蜜多心经的意思就是般若系统的经典里头最核心最简要的那一部经。
So the Prajna Paramita Heart Sutra is the core of the sutras that belong to the Prajna Sutra section.
在大乘经典中有很多不同部类的经典，是不是？有宝积部。有华严部，有法华部，有大吉部，有经吉部，有涅槃部，很多很多不同部类的经典。那般若部的经典相当的多，像有的般若部经典《摩诃般若波罗蜜经》，一部就600卷，好大，是不是？非常的大。但是这一部《心经》只有200多个字，260几个字，真是太简要了哈，非常非常的简要。
Within the Mahayana school of text or sutras, it's divided into many categories, such as the Prajna category, the Avatamsaka category, or the Lotus Sutra category. And within the Prajna sutras, this great big category, there are many sutras. And for example, the Maha Prajna Paramita Sutra itself contains about 600 sentences, which is very long.But on the other hand, this Prajna Paramita Heart Sutra only has about 260 characters.
好，般若是什么意思？你们最近刚上过六祖坛经的人都知道般若是什么意思，对不对？般若就是智慧的意思嘛，哦。
What does Prajna mean? For those of you who have been attending my Six Patriarch Platform Sutra, you know that Prajna means wisdom, right?
当然很多人也都已经知道了，不只是说上过六祖坛经的人才知道。其实佛教讲的智慧分成两种意思，一种是叫世俗的智慧，一种是叫圣意的智慧，对不对？世俗智跟圣意智有这两个差别，但是比较更强调的它的特色就是在圣意智。
So we're talking about Prajna, wisdom.In Buddhism, we generally divide it into two categories. The first one is the worldly wisdom or the provisional wisdom,
versus the ultimate wisdom. And of course, in Buddhism, we put the emphasis in the ultimate wisdom.
佛教是非常重视智慧的一个宗教。有些宗教很重慈悲，像天主教就是非常重慈悲的一个智慧的一个宗教。那佛教比较之下，好像是比较重视智慧。
Buddhism is a religion that places great emphasis on wisdom. Different religions place different kind of emphasis on different aspects, such as Catholicism, they seem to place a lot of emphasis on compassion. But in Buddhism, the emphasis is mainly on wisdom.
不过，如果真正有智慧的人，一定会有慈悲心。
But for those people with true wisdom, it comes naturally with compassion.
大乘佛教就是以利他作为自利的手段的嘛，对不对？呀，为了要利他，一定利己，一定要利他，才有办法，或者是不可能的。
For Mahayana Buddhism, the emphasis is on using helping others as a means to help oneself.So you need to first help other people in order to benefit from it.
大乘佛就是很强调牺牲、奉献、利他而达到自利的目的。如果是只是自私的，不想要利益别人，那这个心态就是不正确的。其实修行是不会成就的。
That's the very important locus point for Mahayana Buddhism, where you need to put the emphasis on helping other people, and through that, you will also benefit yourself.On the other hand, if your entire focus is on benefiting yourself, trying to improve yourself, that kind of effort is quite futile.
但是我们人凡夫的习性是非常重的，自我中心很重，常常是做很多好事就会有执着，就会觉得自己高人一等，自己功德很大，自己很了不起。这种慢心一出来，就会伤人，也会伤自己。所以佛教很强调要把这个我要放掉放掉放掉最后要完全放光才会成就
But sentient beings we are all very attached to our habitual patterns the way we think karmic patterns for instance if we're helping other people or doing some good deeds then we become really attached and egotism or arrogance will somehow just creep upSo Buddhism really emphasizes letting go of this sense of self, letting go of your ego.
所以我们从学佛开始，一开始做任何六度的任何一个项目，像布施、持戒、忍辱、精进、禅定，都要有般若。一方面是要有世俗的智慧，一方面自我就要放下，就要常常关照无我，关照缘起，关照性空，这些。佛教的不共世间法的特色就要放进去，这样子才是一个佛教徒的修行。
So when we are practicing the six paramitas, the six perfections, whether we're practicing charity or keeping the precepts, tolerating insults, diligence, meditation, all these need to be forefronted and guided by wisdom. We need to contemplate often. The concept of no self, of emptiness, and this will be the driving force in all our practices.
否则，如果是自我很重的话，那跟一般世间人的行善也没有什么差别。
Otherwise, if you have a really strong ego, then no matter what you do, even if it's a good deed, then there's no difference between.Cultivation in the Buddhist way versus doing some kind of good deed in the worldly sense.
这个六度大乘佛教的修行可以六度为总纲，这个我相信很多人也都看过。这个不是我今天讲的重点啊，我只是提一下而已。就是行六度，就是要有智慧，同时要有无我这样子的一种心境跟态度。
The practice of the six paramita is the guiding principle for Buddhist practice for the Mahayana school. And I think most of you have heard a lot about it already, and that's not the focus of today's lecture.
But I just need to re-emphasize that no matter what you practice, it's important to keep the concept of no self in mind.
那这部经还有一个词很重要，波罗蜜多，就是 paramita。paramita 把它翻成中文，有时候翻成波罗蜜，有时候就是全部翻译翻成波罗蜜多。它的意思就是到彼岸，也可以说是彻底圆满的意思。
There's another key word in this title, paramita. Paramita means to reach the other shore.Or it also means perfect completion, the ultimate attainment.
一个学佛的人，他在修行的过程中，就必须要有波罗蜜多。这个过程就是要用波罗蜜多。那究竟的目的也称为波罗蜜多。所以波罗蜜多包含两个意思，一个是修行的过程，用无我的态度。去修这个方法也叫波罗蜜多，那究竟圆满也称为波罗蜜多。
So the word paramita has two meaning. It can be applied to when we're practicing, developing toward the final goal. So while we practice, if we apply the thinking of no self in all our practices, it's called paramita.Paramita also means to reach the other shore, to reach the perfect completion. That's also called paramita.
那这一部是真的是大菩萨的经典啊，就是描述已经有相当高的修行的成就的大菩萨，他们确实是有这样子的一种究竟的智慧。
So the Heart Sutra is a sutra of great bodhisattvas. It's describing the attainment.Of a highly achieved great bodhisattva.
这部经是玄奘大师翻译的。玄奘大师因为最近大家在看《玄奘大师传》，对不对？所以你们都对他很清楚，对不对？没有吗
？This sutra is translated by Dharma Master 玄奘 from the Tang Dynasty.
不是有一部叫做什么啊？什么经典？什么电影？最近非常流行嘛，网络传来传去，大家 email 来 email 去的，就是《玄奘大师传》，是不是？
帝国高僧。
帝国高僧 ，right？ 很多人都看过，对不对
？There seems to be a very popular clip or soap opera that's been passing around over the internet about Master 玄奘。
最近有看《帝国高僧》《玄奘大师传》的，请举手，我看看。
Who has seen it? Raise your hand.
来，请举手，我看看。
啊，只有一个人。
The TV show。
真的啊，只有一个人，我也看过两个。
Only two people.
你非常升华是三个。好，那我简单的介绍唐玄奘大师。现在很多人都知道有唐三藏、唐玄奘，又有《西游记》，在中国很流行哈。但是有些人问我说啊，真的有一个人叫唐玄奘哦？真的哦？是真的、啊。但是不是《西游记》描写的那个样子就是了。
So let me briefly introduce, talk about Master 玄奘. He is actually a very famous character in the Chinese literature because there's a story, Journey to the West, that's based on Master 玄奘. It's a fantasy. So some people ask me, is there really such a character? And I said, yes, this is a true historical figure.Except that what you read in the fantastical story is not exactly who he is.
玄奘大师他是河南人，他俗姓陈，在少年的时候就出家，很小的年纪他就出家去了。他是在唐太宗贞观元年，唐太宗一即位那一年，他就冒险偷渡。边境啊，就是非法偷渡到经过西域，到印度去取经。他在印度停留了17年，一直到贞观19年才回到唐朝的帝国。他在经过西域中有大戈壁沙漠500里的流沙河，那是非常的危险的一段历程。他经历了许多生命的险难，他是以持诵心经而脱险的。
Master Shen Zhuang was from the Tang Dynasty, and his last name before he left Tang was Chen. He was from the Henan province. He became a monk when he was really young. And during the time of Emperor Tang Taizong, he tried to sneak out of border and to go to India in order to bring back sutras. And he stayed in India for 17 years and brought back about 600 some sutras. And while he was on his journey, he traveled through the Gobi Desert, and he went through about 5 kilometers of quicksand, and it was really treacherous and dangerous. And whenever he encountered danger, what he recited and relied on was indeed the Heart Sutra.
不过他送的心经不是他自己翻译的，是选鸠摩罗什大师翻译的。那我们今天所读的是他翻译的，有这个不同。
But the version that he recited wasn't translated by him himself. It was by someone else. It was translated by Kumarajiba. And, but the version that we're reading today is translated by Master Shen Zhuang.
Shen Zhuang 大师他是中国易经史上最权威的大师。他翻的经相当的多，但是只是他带回来的九分之一而已。他翻了75部。
Master Shen Zhuang is a significant figure in the Chinese Buddhist history. He had translated a lot of sutras, but among all the sutras that he brought back from India, he only translated about one ninth of the sutras that he brought back.
我们现在所读的很多的经，大部分都是他翻译的，另外大部分就是鸠摩罗什大师翻译的，他们两位翻译大师在中国佛教的贡献，那真的是太大太大，对我们的恩德真是太深太重了。我们非常的感恩这两位大师。
So most of the sutras that we are reading these days, it was translated by Master Shen Zhuang, or another portion of it was translated by Master Kumarajiba.And so these two people, they had made great contribution to the Chinese Buddhist history, and we are greatly indebted to them, and we are really grateful for what they have done, what they have contributed.
他们是历尽千辛万苦，甚至冒着生命的危险，九死一生取经翻译。那我们今天受益于他们，如果没有他们的贡献，我们今天不会坐在这里。
They have gone through great dangers and toils in order to bring back these sutras and to translate them into Chinese. And without them, we wouldn't be able to read all these sutras today.
Yeah, 真的是很感恩前人的奉献哈。那三藏大师的意思就是精通经藏、律藏、论藏这三大类的经典的佛教的典籍的大法师的意思。
So Master Shen Zhuang is also called Master of Tripitaka, and that means from the schools of Sila, the precepts, the school of the school of discourse, as well as Sutra, the school of Sutra.Sutra, Shastra, and Sila.
Yeah. 所以三藏大师是很了不起的，对佛教的经律论都很通彻了解的大师。
So Master Shen Zhuang is really well accomplished. He's really well versed in all these three sets of sutras.
好，我们简单的感恩一下玄奘大师，对他做一个很简单的介绍。接下来我们就进入经典的本文。
That's a very short introduction about Master Shen Zhuang, and we're really grateful toward him. But now we're going to look into the text itself.
好，一开始是说观自在菩萨。观自在菩萨有两个意思，一个意思就是观世音菩萨。观世音菩萨也称为观自在菩萨，这是大家都知道的事。但是还有另外一个意思啊，就是一切因为修观照缘起， 空、无我、无常而得到自在的菩萨，也都称为观自在菩萨。一般说来，大乘佛教的初地菩萨也就是观自在菩萨，初地以上的菩萨就是观自在菩萨。
So, the first sentence says when the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was coursing the deep Prajnaparamita. In the Chinese text, it's actually it wasn't directly talking about Avalokiteshvara. It was talking about someone who has contemplated and reached the state of ease. And for this particular terminology, it has two layers of meaning. The first one is talking about a specific person of Avalokiteshvara. But the second level of meaning, it's a broader term referring to all the cultivators who have reached the state of great ease by contemplating dependent origination, by contemplating no self. And usually, in the 52 stages of Mahayana Bodhisattva's development, accomplishment, for those that have reached the first stage of achievement, they are also called the Bodhisattva who has reached great ease. So it has two layers of meaning.
不过在本经其实是一切修观而得自在的菩萨，不是特别指观世音菩萨，因为菩萨是以他的功德来取他的名字啊，所以一切的菩萨到这个程度就可以称为观自在菩萨。那我们初学者能不能因为修观而得到自在？当然可以，对不对？只要得到一分的自在，那我们就是少分的观自在菩萨，对不对？
So in this particular sutra, it's actually not specifically referring to the Avalokiteshvara. It's referring to all the bodhisattvas who have attained great ease through contemplation. Once you have reached that state, you can be called great ease bodhisattva. And how about us, ordinary sentient beings? Can we attain such ease as well? Of course. If through contemplation we are able to liberate ourselves, even one fraction, one little bit, then we have made some kind of accomplishment toward that goal.
我自己常常教人家一个办法，一个修行的方法，这是我自己常在用的，就是晚上躺在床上观想，这是一具尸体，已经死掉了。你们有没有人这样子观？当你认为真的认为自己已经死掉的时候，你还会去为了今天谁骂你一句，真的起烦恼吗？你还会去想很多生活中的琐细的行为，去困扰自己，觉得很讨厌，很懊恼吗？不会嘛，哦，所以这个时候就有自在，就是观无常得自在。
So I have this technique that I often use myself. Every night when I go to sleep, I contemplate. I imagine myself, this body laying there is already a corpse. It's a dead body. Have you ever done this kind of practice before? Well, if you look at your own body, give it a shot, try it. If you see yourself as already dead, a dead body, then are you going to get hung up to any kind of bickering you had today with someone else, or any of the trivial little matters that occur on a day-to-day basis? Are you going to do that? So this is the contemplation of impermanence.
这个时候你会想到，你应该好好把你的生命用在更有意义的事情上，好好去掌握每一天的时间，做有意义的、利益自己、利益别人的事情，是不是？
If you try this kind of practice, then you will gradually start to think, I should make better use of my life. I should make it a lot more meaningful and try to benefit other people.
另外有一个菩萨，他学佛不久，他是西班牙人，西班牙裔的美国人。他有一天呢来打坐，他说他前一阵非常的烦恼，因为家族问题层出不穷。他一想到哇，这个问题会一直拖下去的时候，他觉得非常的困扰，非常烦恼， 可是当他想到佛教教的无常
sorry
当他想到佛教教无常事情很快变化的时候他就放下了他就不再起烦恼了哎，这个就是佛教的无常利益到他使得他的自在了对不对
Let me give you another example. There's one practitioner who hasn't been studying Buddhism for a very long time. This person is Hispanic American. And one day this person came to me and told me, quite a while back I was really bothered by some kind of problems I had within my family. And I was so troubled because I kept thinking this problem is going to drag on forever. But... and then I thought of the concept of impermanence, that things change moment to moment. And as soon as I thought of that, I was able to let go of my attachment and become free from my problem. And so this is a practice through the use of contemplating impermanence. So the concept of impermanence had indeed benefited this practitioner already.
当一个人不是那么起烦恼的时候，他的头脑是比较清明的。他的情绪是比较稳定的，所以他处理任何事情也会更清楚、更有智慧，对不对？那别人也会跟他的问题又会减少很多，呀，所以就是这样子一个佛教的观念，这滚雪球的一种利益是很大很大的。
So if someone, if your mind has less vexation, then the mind naturally becomes more calmer.And more stable, right? And so in your daily interaction with other people, there will be a lot less problem. So there's a beneficial cycle happening, snowballing. So the contemplation of Buddhist concept, the benefit is really great.
不过我刚刚所起的都是浅薄弱而已，是不是？这是哎呀，只是用一个简单的佛教的修行或是观念，就可以利益到我们。可是观自在菩萨他是行深般若才能够度一切苦厄、
So the examples I just gave you those are actually even though they are prajna they are helpful but it's shallow prajna it's using some kind of Buddhist concept and by contemplating it and you can directly benefit from the concept but and itIn the sutra, in the text, what we're talking about is someone who has been coursing in deep prajna paramita.
不过佛教大乘佛教讲的菩萨确实是有两种，一种是小菩萨，像我们都称大家菩萨，但我们是小小菩萨，那观世音菩萨是大菩萨，对不对？呀，你刚开始学佛，愿意用佛教以佛教的教义。佛教的修行法来分享众人有这样子的心那就是一个菩萨所以大家都是菩萨对不对 你是菩萨嘛齁但是观世音菩萨是圣人菩萨我们是凡夫菩萨、
The term Bodhisattva has two meanings in Buddhism、there are small tiny Bodhisattvas and there are also great BodhisattvasSo in everyday interaction, we call every one of you Pusa, which is Bodhisattva. So we are beginners, we're learning, and we're benefiting and wanting to share the Dharma with people around us. That makes us small Bodhisattva, tiny, minuscule Bodhisattvas. Yet we are Bodhisattvas. But on the other hand, like Avalokiteshvara, she's a great Bodhisattva. She's really accomplished, and she's a sage, a holy person.
好，我们看观世音菩萨、观自在菩萨，他的行深般若波罗蜜多的时候，有很深的般若的观照的时候，他是照见五蕴皆空，所以能够度一切的苦难。那我刚刚已经讲过，般若是智慧的意思，智慧在佛教讲有世俗的智慧跟圣意的智慧，圣意智慧就是空性智，观缘起性空、无常。无我的这种智慧是佛教比较特殊的跟一般世间的宗教或是一般的知识学问不一样的一种智慧
So let's continue on when the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was practicing coursing in the deep prajna paramita He perceived that all five skandhas are empty, thereby transcending all sufferings. As I've talked about, prajna means wisdom. And in Buddhism, two kinds of wisdom, the worldly wisdom versus the ultimate wisdom. And the ultimate wisdom, we're talking about the concept of no self, the concept of impermanence. This is a unique concept to Buddhism.
那在行般若这个过程，在修无我、淡泊自我中心这个过程，称为般若。成就的时候也称为般若，但是有时候把它换了一个名字，叫做菩提。
So when people are practicing this no impermanence and no self, it's called prajna. It can be used to talk about the development, the progression of the practice. And once one is accomplished, it's also called prajna. Or sometimes we use another term, bodhi, to talk about the accomplishment.
所以有时候我们祝福人家早成菩提，早成菩提其实也就是般若彻底圆满嘛的意思。
So sometimes we will wish someone else, I wish you will quickly reach the Buddhahood and accomplish the state of Bodhi. That means you're wishing someone will achieve the perfect prajna.
那五蕴是什么意思呢？五蕴就是组成我们人的身体的五种要素，色、受、想、行、识。色是指物质的肉体，受、想、行、识是指精神作用。
So what about the five skandhas, the five aggregates? What does it mean? It's referring to the elements that come aggregates and becomes the sense of self. And within these five skandhas, there are form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. And form is referring to the physical body, versus sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness is referring to the spiritual world.
五蕴皆空，就是色、受、想、行、识都是空的。那这个空是什么意思呢？
So the five skandhas are all empty. What does it mean to say they're all empty?
空不是空空洞洞，什么都没有，不存在的意思，而是它是没有不变性的，没有独存性，没有自主性的，没办法自我掌控的意思。
So when we talk about emptiness, it doesn't mean there's absolutely nothing. Everything is void. That's not what it means. It means that it's empty, nothing is unchanged. Nothing is monolithic, standing by itself, independent.
不变性和自主性。
不变性就是 impermanent. 自主性说 you cannot control. You have no control.
And then also you have no...absolute control over it.
Right, this is
conditional.
Right. 无不变性，无独存性，无自主性。性就是本质，没有那样子的一种质地在。
It means that there isn't an essence that is impermanent, or it's independent, or it's self-controlling. There isn't, the essence doesn't exist.
所以这个不难理解，对不对？色、受、想、行、识。是有，可是它没有不变的特性在，它是刹那刹那变异的，我们没有办法去掌握它，它是受着很多很多的情况去影响的，你绝对没有办法操纵它，这可以理解吗？对不对？
Yeah. Is this concept easy to understand? That your form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness, none of these are permanent. They are changing moment by moment.And it's not possible for someone to control it by oneself. They're all conditional.
Yes, you say that the essence does not exist. So I can say that Buddha's nature is.
No. If we have that idea, that's false. Yeah, that's an erroneous view. Right. No such thing.
So,
yeah.
There is no essence.
Buddha nature is a kind of state that you transcend. Yeah, you transcend existence or non-existence. Yeah, we cannot say.
We can say Buddha's nature is the kind of, we can say that the word nature is a kind of mind, or it transcends the mind.
It transcends the mind. Okay. We cannot imagine it.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. It must transcend. Yeah. Grasping.
Yeah. So
transcend the old. Is there the Buddha nature? Otherwise, we cannot.
We transcend the Buddha's nature?
Yeah. We must transcend the idea.
Yeah, mind. We transcend mind
transcend
to reach
mind.
Buddha's nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Amitabha.
Yeah. 好，他那个问题，我想不用解释了哈。其实佛教他讲任何东西，主要的目的都是要去除我们众生的一种执着。众生执着的东西很多很多很多，但是一般而言，最执着的就是自己的生命、自己的身体、自己的生命，对呀。所以《心经》就是要破除我们对自己的身心的执着，因此而得到解脱。
So, doesn't matter what kind of Buddhist teaching, all it's trying to do is trying to help us break free from our attachments.And that's also the purpose of this Heart Sutra, that's trying to help us break free from our attachment to our physical body and to our mind. That's what us sentient beings were most attached to, right? Our very life. And so it's trying to help us break free from all these attachments.
所以像《心经》讲的五蕴这个精神作用的受想行识，这个跟心理学是相通的。但是我今天没有要谈心理学，只是很浅的提到一下它的分类，就是受是情绪作用，啊想是认识作用，啊行是意志作用，是一切精神作用的能力，或者是说对受想行识的一个认识作用，简单的这样子分类，呀这跟心理学是相通。
So if within these five skandhas, the latter four, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness, these are our cognitive activities. They are related to psychology, but I'm not going to get into that today, but they are indeed related. So sensation is referring to our emotional activities, and perception is referring to cognition.And volition is referring to our consciousness, our desire to make a decision to take certain action. Versus consciousness comes in two meanings. One is all kind of psychological activity can be called consciousness, or the ability to be aware of the functions of sensation, perception, volition, that's also called consciousness.They are related to psychology, actually.
佛教有一个比较深入去分析人的心理作用的哲学，这个就是唯识学，对不对？所以有人说唯识学就是佛教的心理学，它是一个比较深细去分析人的心理作用的，谈得很细。那如果有兴趣的人可以去进一步去研究它，我自己是没有深入研究的。
So within Buddhism, there is a school of thought that's called conscious-only school. And this particular school, they deeply analyze all our mental activities. So for those of you who are interested, you can look into it yourself. As for me, Fashi, hasn't dabbled too much into this school of thought particularly.
唯识学有它的好处，有它的作用，但是也不是说学佛一定要懂唯识学，没有这样的事。
The school of conscious only, it has its purpose and it can be quite beneficial. But it's not true that if you want to learn about Buddhism, you necessarily have to become very well versed in this particular school. You don't have to.
对于有一些喜欢心理学的人来讲，唯识学对他们非常好。它是超越一般的心理学的，它谈得很细很好。但是，有一些人呢，其实他对佛教没有很深入的了解，
但是他们有那个善根啊，接触佛教以后就掌握他的精神。佛教讲的就是缘起性空无常，苦空无我，对不对？他掌握这个特色而已，他就可以修行修得很好，也是有这种人的。
So the conscious only school has a lot of benefit, and for those people who have strong affinity with psychology or like this kind of subject, it can be very interesting. And actually, this particular school, it goes beyond modern day psychology. It's really quite deep. But there are also cases, there are some people who already have a lot of beneficial good karmic root. Once they start learning about Buddhism, they are able to grasp the fundamental concept of Buddhism really quickly, which is impermanence, no self, dependent origination, sufferings, and these kind of concepts. So if you have already a good grasp of these concepts without understanding the conscious only school, that's quite okay too.
那今天因为时间的关系，我想我先把它整个跳过去，如果时间够的话再走回来，把这个受想行识再做进一步的分析。现在我们知道受想行识只是使精神作用，物质作用是称为色，这样就可以了。这个五蕴都是空的，这样子先介绍一下。
So due to limitation of time, we cannot go into it very deeply. If we have time next time, we can come back to revisit this topic of the five skanda. All we have to know today is that sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness, those are referring to mental activities. And for material physical activities, well, that's form, the first one. And then we have to know that the five skandas are empty. Nothing is permanent.
万自在菩萨他照见五蕴皆空，在声般若的时候有这样子的一种功力，度一切苦厄，所有的一切世间的痛苦厄难全部解除。
And because the Bodhisattva was able to illuminate and enter deep Prajnaparamita, he had perceived that all five skandhas are empty, and therefore the Bodhisattva is able to free itself from all kinds of sufferings in the world.
我们世界的苦很多，对不对？相当的苦，生老病死、怨憎会、爱别离、求不得、五蕴炽盛，还有生活中的经济压力、什么人事压力，很多很多的苦。那如果说我们面对任何的苦，不管是身体的痛、疼痛，或者是环境的压力的时候，心里都是很快乐的，那叫做不受苦，对不对？那就是没有苦了。
Talking about suffering, there are a lot of sufferings in the world, isn't there? There are the suffering of being born, of aging, of death, of sickness, the suffering of encountering what you dislike or parting from what you are attached to. There are all sorts of sufferings. There are suffering from physical pains, suffering comes from economical pressure in daily living. So facing all these sufferings, if you are able to live with the suffering yet still remain free and happy in your own mind, in that sense, we can say that you are not suffering. Isn't that true?
Not suffering or overcome.
I cannot hear you. Please speak louder.
If you remain happy,
right?
Is it you happy or you have overcome suffering?
Yes,
you
remain calm.
You have suffering and you have kept your mind free and happy.
I think there is difference between only happy or calm. 有些人啊，他很天真，再大的事情发生，对他都算算。这种人就是暖暖算算，他都不在乎。这种人叫做就是 indifference 的人，对不对？也盲目不仁。那有一些人是很冷静的，他的情绪是很稳定、很冷静，而他是很有智慧处理事情，是很积极的。这个很不一样。Yeah. 且能利益到很多的人。
There's a difference between just happy-go-lucky, you know, staying naive and indifferent. There are certain people that are like that, right? They don't pay attention to their surroundings and they're just, you know, go through their day. I'm so happy. That's one type of person. But there's another type of person who are able to deal with all the daily activities and encounters in a very calm manner. And indeed, they're able to use their wisdom and solve a lot of problems, and that they live a very meaningful life. Those two levels of happiness are quite different.
你们说学佛的人会变成哪一种人？学佛学得好会变成哪一种人？
第二
种，对不对？不会变成第一种人吧？不会吧？
If you're good with your practice, your Buddhist practice, which kind of person would you become? The first one or the second one?
当然是 second one， 但是必须修才能够达到这个目的呀，否则没办法，就是真的要修。
But you need to practice to become like that. Without practice, that would be impossible.
那就是先要观念上，就是要改变了，是不是
？So first, you change yourself conceptually.
在我来之前呢，我住在北投，我们有一个寺院呢，我们花果山的一个道场在那边，有一个义工，这个义工刚来了不到一年，他蛮热心的，也常常来参加法会，但是我看他怪怪的，看他常常一个人不知道在发什么呆，就是觉得怪异。后来我知道了，原来这个人是这样子的。他的先生跟他的儿子在一两年前相继过世，可是他的情执非常重，他拒绝接受他的先生跟他儿子已经死亡的事实。
So there's an example. I was before I came here a while back. I was living in the northern part of Taiwan, at a place called Beitou. We have a temple there.And when I was there, I came across this volunteer who comes to help very often, and she's very helpful, willing to contribute her time and energy. But there's just something off about her that whenever I observe her, I feel there's something a bit strange, that she often stares into the space vacantly and doesn't seem to be aware of what's going on around her.So later on, I found out that for this person, a year ago, she had just lost her son and her husband consecutively. And because she's really attached to them emotionally, she was unwilling to accept the fact that they have both passed away.
她连她自己的兄弟姐妹都没有让他们知道，她的先生跟她儿子已经过世了。
She didn't even let her own brothers and sister know about what had happened, that her husband and her son had both passed away.
她都跟人家说，她也跟我说，她的儿子跟她的先生在国外。
So she kept telling people, oh, my husband and my son, they are just living overseas.
我那时候不知道，我还跟她说，哦，那你可以打电话给你儿子啊。你可以常常跟他讲电话，我还这么讲呗。
I didn't know the truth at that time, so I even told her, "Oh, if that's the case, you can call them. You can call your son often and talk to him."
有的人会把他这样子的一种事实讲出来，那不得了，他已经跟他大吵一架。
But some people will inadvertently just.Say it, you know, state the fact that your husband and son have passed away. And whenever she hears that, she will become enraged and have a huge argument with that, whoever that was.
像这样子的人很可惜啊，长得很庄严啊，很热心来做义工来参加法会啊。可是问题就在这个地方，他就是要抗拒，就是要跟这样子的世间无常的一种事实。要对抗，对不对？他就是执着，他的先生，他的儿子这么好，一定就是要跟他在一起，一定要见在人间。他就拒绝接受，那 那这就是苦恼无边的嘛，对不对？
So it's really quite a pity. This person, she looked very, was good looking and was really willing to come to the temple, listen to Dharma and help out. Yeah, this person was fighting against the fact of impermanence and unwilling to accept the truth that her husband and her son had both passed away. And she was fighting against it and grasping onto her own emotions and illusions.
不过这个人还是很有善根，他来寺院，他在听法，他在参加活动，慢慢慢慢慢慢，佛法的种子他会种进去。我有时候讲一点小开始，我会针对他的问题很技巧的去点他一下，点他一下，慢慢会变。
But still, fortunately, this person had really good karmic root, so she comes to attempt to listen to the lectures. So whenever I give a lecture, I would give her a little bit of hint, trying to poke at her a little bit, very skillfully, try to help her wake up.
所以她有在变。我讲这个例子是一个比较极端的例子。看到这个例子，那也应该要想想，我们虽然没有那么严重，可是我们有没有这个问题？我们有这个问题。
So this is just one example, and maybe it's showing something quite extreme. But when we're listening to such an extreme example, shouldn't we take a moment to reflect and think about ourselves? Are we maybe, even if not so extremely, maybe we are attached to certain aspects of our life as well, don't we?
如果是一个真正的对佛法的修行很好，把佛法的精髓掌握得很好的人，那应该这种问题要淡薄很多才对，对不对？
If you're truly someone who's well steeped in Buddhism and have a really good solid grasp of the fundamental concept of Buddhism, shouldn't your attachment gradually and gradually be reduced?
在圣严师父前年圆寂的过程中，我看到我们很多的师兄弟还有很多居士的表现，真的很令人赞叹，很了不起。他们把佛法的精神在这个时候展现出来了，他们真的是很沉稳、很平静、很有智慧的在处理事情的，很少表现情绪，很了不起。
During that time when our Shifu, Master Shen Yan, was passing away, before and after that, I actually witnessed a lot of my Dharma brothers and sisters and also seasoned disciples of Shifu, how they were able to deal with the situation in a very calm, stable, and in a very wise manner. They were able to take care of a lot of things in a very wise way. And this is a situation where the practice has come through. They seldom show very erratic emotions or anything like that.
所以一个人的修行功夫怎么样，在遇到无常的时候看得更清楚，对不对？
So facing impermanence, that's the best time to see how well one has been practiced in your progress.
那当面对自己的生死的时候，又是一个更容易看清楚修行功力的一个关卡，是不是？当自己要走的时候，你的心情怎么样？又是一个考验。
So when you're looking at your very own death,at the point of you passing away, that's also another critical moment when you can clearly see how well your practice has been, how good your practice is. You can really see how well you can face the situation.
所以像我刚刚讲的，常常观无常、观死亡，这是一个修行，这个对我们真正要面对最后那一刻的时候应该会有帮助。像达赖喇嘛，他不管再忙，他一天观想死亡8次，这是他的修行，他每天都这样修，这是很好的修行。观死亡不会让一个人消气，
相反的会积极会努力会精进。If you can often contemplate death and contemplate impermanence, it will benefit you greatly in terms of your practice as well, prepare you for that critical moment. The Dalai Lama, you know how busy he is, but every day, no matter how hectic his life is, he contemplates death at least 8 times a day. And the contemplation of death will not make you become a passive person. Actually, it will make you become more driven, and you will live your life with a greater mission.
在中国的社会，有很多人忌讳谈死亡，谈到死这个字就是不能讲。你们有这种人吗？在座应该没有这种人吧？有的请举手。不准人家讲死这个字，你呀、啊？那你今天很大的进步，我一直讲死了。
帮他举手，
帮他举手啊！今天不是我了，我一直讲他，他也没跑掉，他没有说一掉头就离开了，走人了。
In the Chinese society, the talk about death is usually a huge taboo. A lot of people don't like to talk about it. They forbid people around them to talk about it. So Fa Shi just asked, "Is there any one of you like that here?" So someone raised her hand, and Fa Shi then said, "Well, then you have made a lot of improvement today. I've been talking about death nonstop, and then you are still staying put and not leaving the Chan Hall. That's a huge improvement already."
不错，现在有两个人要走了。
Now there are two people leaving.
我根本不是因为怕听到死离开的，一个要上厕所，一个天气冷要加一件衣服。
I don't think that's because they're afraid of death. One is just putting on the jacket, the other person needs to go to the restroom.
好，那不管怎么样，真的好好修。佛教所强调的释迦牟尼佛告诉我们的无常、苦空、无我，这些修行可以淡化自我中心，淡化我们的一些颠倒见、颠倒想，是很好的。
So if we practice and contemplate what Buddha had taught us, impermanence, suffering, emptiness, and no self, it will really help us let go of our attachments.
比如说，当我们一个人病得很严重的时候，又老又病又穷又苦，那是不是心里会觉得很不自在？觉得哎，我怎么这么可怜呢？有这么多的问题。那如果说我们换一个角度说，本来就是这样子嘛，连佛也会舍报嘛，佛的身体也会死嘛。我现在还活着还不错嘛，老是保持这个念头，那不就快乐了吗？
So if there's someone who is undergoing a lot of difficulty in life, being sick, poor, and aging, usually people feel a lot of suffering in this kind of state. But then if you turn your mind around and think that,Hey, even Buddha himself has to face the process of aging and death. This is merely a natural part of the life cycle. What's so strange about that? If you're able to think like that, then you will be able to take a step back and think, hey, actually, I'm still alive right now. Shouldn't I be happy about it? Then you will be able to alleviate yourself from the suffering.
像印顺老法师，他那个人呐、啊，他25岁开始就觉得他随时会死，身体实在太虚太虚太弱了。可是他活到101岁，很奇怪哈。
There's a great contemporary master, Master 印顺。Ever since he turned 25, he started thinking, "Oh, my body is so weak and feeble. I'll probably die any time." But do you know how old he ended up being? He ended up living to 101.
他的一生不知道开过多少次刀，而且都是大刀，一住院都是好久，有时候躺在床上躺个将近1年都不能动，不能做任何其他事。
He had undergone a lot of major surgeries in his life, and some of them are so severe that he had to stay in bed and rest for over a year.
他的身体真的是比我们师父、我们圣严师父还要差太多了。
So Master Yin Shun's physical body is a lot worse than our own Master Shen Yan.
可是他常常告诉他自己，身体能够这样子就很不错了啦，就应该很高兴了啦。
But Master Yin Shun often told himself that, hey, at least my body is able to handle this much. It's quite good already. I should be happy.
他吃的东西也很简单，他晚年大概几十年都是吃那样千年菜都没有变，两小碟一模一样，永远都是这样吃的。
His food daily intake was also very simple. For over decades, every day he eats the same two little dishes. That's all. Never change.
这样子的营养，人家觉得会不够，可是他还是撑下来的，活到101岁。
A lot of people probably think that's not enough nutrition, but you know, he's lived to 101.
这固然他活那么大年纪，有他自己的一种因果关系，但是跟他的心境也有很大的关系。他放得很轻松，很自然，对自我的生命的执着很淡薄。
To be able to live such a long life, of course, there are some karmic causes that's causing this.But then also, it's greatly related to his own mental state, that he was really peaceful, and he wasn't very attached to many things in life. That probably helped him to live a long life as well.
所以这样子的态度就是很值得我们学习，我们观自在。
We should really learn and take after this kind of attitude for one's life. This is, you know, through contemplation, achieving great ease.
所以能够常常关照无常、苦空、无我很深的人啊，他虽然有生老病死，也有怨憎会，也有爱别离，也有求不得，可是不会五阴炽盛，没有五阴炽盛就没有苦。
So for people who are able to deeply contemplate the concept of impermanence, suffering, emptiness, and no self.If you're able to practice and deeply contemplate it, so even in everyday life, you encounter what so-called sufferings, where you encounter aging, sickness, and not getting what you want, or encountering things that you dislike, doesn't matter. At least you will be able to live peacefully and not be, will not suffer from the fire of desires.
这里讲到了怨憎会、爱别离这两种状况，看修行，一个人修行到什么程度，会有多少的怨憎会、爱别离。就是释迦牟尼佛，他也有一些跟他比较亲近、比较相应、比较能够帮助到他的人。那这种人跟他的缘分就是很深的人，在世间来讲，也可以算是一种亲属眷属，有的是法眷属，对不对？法缘深的人，那这是不是一种爱呢？有没有爱在里头？那也有一些人是侮辱他、打击他、欺负他、伤害他的人，表面上看起来跟他是这样子的关系，可是在他的心里是不是怨呢？
So, we encounter all these kind of sufferings, these conditions on a daily basis where, you attract, you encounter what you dislike, or you have to part with what you like, what you love. So even for the Buddha, throughout his life, he also had a lot of these kind of encounters. For instance, there are some people he feels closer to, their way of thinking correspond with each other better. So in some sense, they are kind of like kings, Dharma kinships. Toward those people, do you think there is desire, love, attachment in the Buddha's mind? And also, there were some people who do everything they can to try to insult him, to bring him physical or psychological harms. Toward those people, do you think Buddha experienced hatred and resentment?
有没有？你们认为怎么样？当然没有，佛他的跟每一个人的关系也不一样嘛，他的弟子啊，他相应的人或者当时的人啊，比较有发生关系的人跟他的关系都不一样，但是在他的心里，他并没有一种怨心或者执着心，没有， 但是它是恰当的回应，恰当的处理，该怎么处理人怎么处理，该怎么处理事怎么 处理事情的。那是不是他会骂人？他也骂人，但是他骂人的时候，他不会是因为起情绪去骂人，而是这个人需要骂，所以他去骂人。
So of course, for the Buddha, he wouldn't be attached to his desires or have all these negative emotions of hatred or resentment. On the surface, he has different levels encounters with different people, right? Some people he feels he's closer to, and some people they don't correspond with each other as well. There isn't such as good of a match.Yet Buddha was able to use his wisdom to deal with every situation judiciously and without it being interfered by his personal emotions. And so for the Buddha, do you think he scolds his disciple? Does he ever scold people? Of course he did. But that, the action of scolding wasn't generated from a mind of agitation or hatred.It was merely because the situation called for it. He only scolds people when he felt that this person needs scolding, and so he takes on the action of scolding.
佛也会称赞像阿难尊者啦、舍利弗尊者啦，也会夸赞人，对不对？但是他有没有执着心？没有。
Buddha also praises some of his disciples, like Ananda and others.But do you think he's attached to, you know, the love or anything like that? No, he was only doing what was called for.
像释迦牟尼佛那样子的修行已经成佛，已经彻底圆满，福德跟智慧都已经达到最高点了。那值得我们学习的地方当然非常的多，但是从佛教历史上一直到现在，我们看到很多的大修行者，他们的表现，他们在生命中处理种种事情的表现，包括像我们的师父，像印顺老法师啦，或慈济的师父啦，或者是佛光山的师父啦，西藏佛教、南传佛教，很多师父、很多修行者，或者是说我们在座的很多菩萨的表现，哎，只要跟佛法相应，可能都有值得我们学习的地方。
So of course, from the Buddha, he is someone who has reached.Perfect attainment, perfect practice. There are a lot we can learn from him. But not just from the Buddha, but from all the sages and great Dharma masters from the past and the present. May it be our own Shifu, or it could be the master from Siji, or the master from the Buddha Light Mountain. You know, all these people.Even from people around us, the volunteers here, the bodhisattvas here, whatever you see, if their action and corresponds with Buddha Dharma, then that's something, there's something that we need to learn from that person.
But yeah, maybe they just be very, how to say that? They set the good model for us sometimes. 好，时间过得很快，现在时间已经是12:25，好快哦！只剩下五分钟的时间可以做 Q&A， 或者是 discussion， 或者是分享 sharing。哎呀，诸位菩萨有没有什么 question， 或者是 sharing， 或者要 discuss 的问题？有没有
？Time has passed really quickly. We only have 5 minutes for Q&A or discussion. Anyone?
有两个人举手来，请。
有法师开示一下，观照的照是什么意思？
观照的意思
就是照的意
思。观照其实就是想，去思考，去想。那譬如说我观想无常，观照无常，观照五蕴皆空，去想五蕴皆空，去想无常，在这个地方是这个意思。
就是有自己的想法吗？在里面。
对对对对，有想法。
就是要刻意的去想
吗？对对对，刻意去想，去认识他一下，就是要动脑，要有这样子的 mental process。
The question was, what does it mean to contemplate and reflect? Do you mean to think about something consciously? And Pastor said, yes, you have to consciously think, analyze the concept, and try to.Apply it to your everyday lives and to think about it consciously. to use your mind, use your brain.
在我们这个阶段是必须要这样子做。可是当你修行到很高的阶段的时候，你可以根本就不必动，你自然就跟它相应了。那是很高的修行的时候，是这样。
At our level, we have to think consciously. We have to exert effort. But when you reach a really high level of attainment, then everything becomes natural.
Yeah, 在菩萨修行有一个程度叫做进入无功用行，那时候自然没有烦恼，也不需要动用智慧，不用动 mind process， 自然就是顺着一直进步了。但是很高，离我们还很远，就是了。
But the effortless kind of practice is only for people at a very, very high level, great bodhisattvas. So for us, we do have to exert effort and think consciously.
好，好，这是一个问题。另外后面还有人举手。
Yeah. 我想要请问的是，今天讲的，其中提到一位法师，他在生病的时候，他还是把人生看得很淡薄。那听起来好像是说他的人生可以很积极的做事，但是他把他人生看得很淡薄，但是我觉得我有点 confused。
哦，是这样子，这个人非常的积极，
他很积极，
非常的积极，他成就很大很大。对，
他人生看得很淡薄，
不是人生看得很淡薄，是自我中心很淡薄，对自己的生老病死，老病死自己的遭遇看得很淡薄，但是他为法为人那个心是非常的强，非常的切，意志力是非常的坚定的。
那我想要问的就是，如果说是这样子的话，跟消极是两回事
啊？正好相反，正好相反，对。
So the question was regarding Master Yin Shun, where he was able to treat his own life very lightly, but yet live with such a great conviction and mission in life. And so how do you balance between the two dichotomy? And the answer was, he looked at his own life. He has very little ego. So he doesn't think too highly of himself or his life or physical well-being, yet he's greatly, greatly committed to the spread of Buddha Dharma. He has accomplished a lot and made great contribution to Buddhism. And so it has nothing to do with passivity. His life was not passive at all.
对啊，一个人如果在国家来讲修行好的话，他的自我很淡薄，因为他的自我淡薄，所以他的力量是很强的。一个人的自我越重的话，他的力量越小，是不是这样子？他只要是在想自己的烦恼啊，他怎么有力量去帮助别人呢？不可能吧，哈！自己烦恼很重，就需要很多人去帮他，帮了半天还可能没效果呢。可是一个自己根本没烦恼的人，他再大的问题他都不是问题，所以他还是一样可以很积极的去帮助别人。
It's because of the very fact that he has so little ego about himself that he was able to generate such great power in accomplishing his own mission. It's a very interesting dynamic, but usually for people with greater ego, the more ego you have, the less power you have. Actually, sometimes you can't even help yourself. You need other people to come help you. So if you have very little ego, then you are able to generate a lot of force to help other people.
像这种事情，这种情况，其实在我们身边，我们都可以看得到，对不对？呀、yeah, ，在社会中，在你身边，很多人就是这样子啊。呀、yeah, ，一个人他对自己、对他的家庭啊，他也能够处理、能够照顾，可是他的自我没有那么执着，他的心就是一直为人、为社会、为大众、为佛法啊，这种人可以成就很多很多很多事情，是不是？呀、yeah, ，他的心很大，成就也大。但是心很小，只是在他身上而已，他可能连自己都照顾不好。
So we can actually find ample examples in our everyday situation where you can see a lot of people who think very little for themselves. They think a lot for benefiting other people or at least their families. For those people, they're able to help a lot of people. But if you're constantly thinking about yourself, thinking about your own problem, then there's very little you can do.
那有一些人会想说，帮助那么多人，那有什么意思啊？那就是因为我们的心很小，我们不想帮助人。可 可是在佛教的观念里，其实每一个人都是我们的恩人，每一个人跟我们都有密切关系的。我们跟众生是就是一直都是密不可分的。
So some of you may think, well, what's the point of helping other people? Why should I do that? You know, there's no fun. Well, if you think that, well, that's because we have really strong attachment to our ego and you have a relatively small mind or vow. But actually in Buddhism, because of karma, everything, every sentient being can probably have bestowed upon us a lot of grace and we should be grateful to every one of them. And that's why you naturally want to benefit all sentient beings.
是啊，有的人他的心境是非常的开阔的，他就是真的想要利益每一个人。那这种人常常也会有一种很不可思议的因果状况，很不可思议的。
Some people, their mind is so broad and they naturally want to benefit all sentient beings. So from these people's life, we can often observe incredible phenomena and incredible cause and effect, cause and conditions happening, ripening for these people.
如果说我们的心境，我们的智慧，我们的福报已经修到已经成佛的人，他的因果就是不可思议的。他怎么样也不会被弄死，怎么样人再多人想要用尽各种办法要伤害他的因果，就是让他不会被弄死。
So for people who are greatly accomplished or even reach Buddhahood, often we find incredible, amazing situations happening. For instance, there may be people trying to harm this person with all sorts of methods. Yet this greatly accomplished beingwill not be harmed in any way, no matter what other people have tried to do.
Not to death, but maybe suffer only a little bit. 像释迦牟尼佛，他会因为人家害他，伤他流一点点血而已。
So even other people have tried everything they can to harm this being, but this person only received a little bit of harm. So those are amazing and beyond our normal thinking kind of phenomena.
Yeah, 有很多人他们就是常常在很危险的时候就是会避掉，就是很奇怪，就是一直避掉很多灾难，就是他的因果，他过去的心，他的智慧使得他自我很淡薄，他成就了很多功德，他是自然如此的。
You may have also heard about people who encounter great danger, but doesn't matter. They often just slip by it by a hair, a fraction of time or a moment. They could just slip by the danger. And that's because of their past karma.
即使他没有特别要去想，因为很多事情想不到的，世界上在我们的生命中的历程，很多很多事是想象不到。可是你的因果自然就是会带领你接受你应该有的一种实际的状况。
For those people, they don't even consciously try to avoid problems because really, a lot of situations in life is quite inconceivable and it's hard to predict. But they are able to just come through all these obstacles, and that's because of the past karma.
不过那个倒并不是修行的重点，修行的重点主要就是要提起菩提心，愿意牺牲奉献自己。而且利益别人，去为佛法的弘扬、佛法的住持的尽力而为，不管是在家或出家身份，这个才是我们的重点。
But all these examples we've been talking about, this is not the emphasis of your Buddhist practice. For a Buddhist, the key point is to bring forth your Bodhi mind. You have to expand your vows to help all sentient beings through Buddha Dharma.For the spread and growth of Buddha Dharma, that is the most important thing for a Buddhist.
我们并不是在修行成就的时候才发菩提心，而是一开始就要发菩提心的。对啊，在自己有很多的困境、很多问题，就是很繁复的阶段，就是要发菩提心的，这个才是对的。
So you do not bring forth your Bodhi mind only when you have reached perfect enlightenment or when you have accomplished Buddhahood. No, it's when you are practicing, even as a regular sentient being like every one of us right now, that you, even when you encounter a lot of difficulties and sufferings,
still you bring forth your Bodhi mind to help all sentient beings, and that will be the right mentality to have for your practice.
还有很多东西要谈，但是时间已经超过，人家又赶我下台，有的人已经在准备好要做下一个节目了哈，所以我没有办法继续再谈。我们下一个礼拜还有一次机会见面。
There's still a lot to talk about, but we're running out of time. There are people already getting ready in the back for the lunch offering. So I have to go, but we still have one more session next week, and we can have a deeper discussion then.
今天谢谢 Amy 菩萨当翻译，也谢谢诸位菩萨的参与，谢谢。
Thank you for all your time.
好，欢迎诸位菩萨来参加今天下午的活动。哎，今天下午做什么？今天下午有大悲忏，
We will have great, we will re-chant the Great Compassion Dharani this afternoon from 2 to 4.